Greetings, it's Dr. Burnett, publishing pusher, the all-in-body place of encouragement, cultural empowerment. Weekly, she'll engage conversations with entrepreneurs and creatives. And these insightful interviews are designed to help us build our businesses, respective brands, ourselves, and to hopefully propel us to that next level of greatness. Big Boss. So with no time to waste time, it's officially go time.
Hi, everyone. Dr. Annette, the publishing pusher, is here. Today, I am excited that I am going to be talking to Andrea Marino. And Andrea has a fabulous book. This is her second time around on the podcast with me. We did a podcast on her book back in 2019. So it's been quite a while. She's had some revisions and updates to it. And so I can tell you, I read it the first time. It was a great read. It was a great read. Her book is called The Hobble from AI to Bethel. The Hobble from AI to I to Bethel. So I want to give Andrea the opportunity to share with us a bit about herself. Let's think about the five W's of writing and how. Remember that? The when, where, why, who, what, and the how. So I want her to use those when she's talking about herself. That kind of simplifies it. So Andrea, I want you to just go ahead and introduce yourself to everyone.
Well, hi all, greetings. And I would have to start when I was 12 years old, at that ripe old age of 12. I can remember being in hot pursuit of finding the secret to happiness. And that was because I had experienced dysfunction in my family. And I seriously wanted my parents to be happy, and they weren't. And so this dysfunction really took a hold of me. And so I grabbed a book by Freud, of all things, and started just delving into all that he had to say, because I was invested that much. So I might not have been invested had I not had this dysfunction. I might have just been, you know, just la-di-dying along. But I now that I'm older, I know that there is a big difference between happiness and joy. But there is a brokenness that is within each and every person. And only God can mend this. So when I got to college, you know, I set off on the psychology, and it's not a wrong pursuit. But once I entered college, I found it to be a major disappointment for me, because I was looking for the answer. And there were too many variables in psychology. And so that precise answer of do this and you will have this outcome was not the case. And I remember I did complete my degree in psychology. However, I was kind of not really relying on it anymore. And I'll tell you, in Psych 101, the requirement was to keep a journal of my struggles, which the professor would read and respond to. And after a semester of this back and forth, I provided my conclusion. And I told her that God had to have something to do with life, specifically happiness. And I won't forget what she wrote in my book. She basically said that God may have a part in our understanding the complexity of life, but there was more that I would need. And I was not expecting my conclusion to be viewed as basically inaccurate and flawed. So it was discouraging. And that is to say, a psychological approach to life was. But I completed my degree. The field was no longer my goal. So at age 19, living through the era of God is dead and all of that, I never bought into it. I always had a sense of something more. I always had this desire to help other people. As far back as when I was 12, I wanted to help other people. And so I did encounter Jesus, and it was, that changed everything. You know, being raised a Catholic, I knew there were three gods, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but I didn't ever understand that they were one. Not as I did at age 19, when God saw fit in my, and he saw that I was searching for him, and he never left me, and he never said, oh, you're just too far gone. And I remember sitting there just hearing a sermon about Jesus on the cross. And I knew at that moment, it was like the Holy Spirit revealed that this is God on the cross. And it just blew me away that here was this man who I reverenced and thought was a great guy. And, you know, one night, you know, in my early teens, I would say my prayers. One night I would say, I don't know who to pray to. One night I'll pray to you, God the Father. And then the next night I'll pray to Jesus. And that's kind of like how I went through my teen years. So at age 19 is when I really discovered, it's like, it was that encounter that I had, and that from there on in, it was like a love story that developed. And you know, this was something much later on that I had said to God as I'm going through spiritual battles, not learning, you know, learning, I should say, the once you're saved, you encounter that that beast, Satan, and all these spiritual battles that I had to learn how to fight, how to wield the sword. And so I said to God one day, I would love to put my thoughts down in a testimony. You know, I was never expecting this to turn out to be a book, but it is a book about, and it's more for a younger woman, I believe, that is afraid and has sin in their lives that they need to understand is separating them from God. And so that is where that started. And then lo and behold, after I asked God for that, a vision kind of came in my head of like this woman struggling. And then it became like a crooked leg. And I'm like, okay, Lord, what am I supposed to do with this? I can't tell you how many times I stood in front of a mirror and tried to imitate. It's kind of like analogous to Jacob's limp and how he wrestled with God. And here was a woman that had a fall, a physical fall on a hike, and she was left crippled. Now, here she was a dancer. She was ready to be married. And all of it was slowly taken away. She couldn't, nobody knew. It was very mysterious why she walked with this limp. And of course, people jump to why God, and they start to doubt, their faith wavers, and they can give up on God. And I believe that's what Electa, and that is, she's my main character. And the reason I chose the name Electa was from 2 John in the first chapter. John is addressing an elect lady and her children. And so I felt we're all in the same boat as far as having sin in our life and separated from God when we're born. And it's a journey to find Jesus. We cannot go to the Father except through Jesus. And she went through a lot of turmoil and rejection and pity parties and things like that. And so this is what basically the book is. I was impressed to bring out the sin aspect of our lives out into the open, because God says all of us have sinned. And I struggle with this for over 20 years, and I've quit many times. I just said, Lord, I can't do this anymore. And I remember one afternoon, I was in between jobs. I was driving a school bus because I had a little child, and it worked out for me. And I was writing this book, and everybody was at the bus garage was like, oh my gosh, when are you going to finish this book and all this? And I said, that's it. I'm done. I want to enjoy. It was a beautiful afternoon. And I remember walking down the street, taking a beautiful afternoon in, and lo and behold, this thing came in my mind of Elijah, the voice of Elijah. And so I thought, oh, Lord, no, he wasn't about to let me back down. And in the last days, it says the spirit of Elijah will go forth like John the Baptist. And we are living in the last days. The voice of Elijah is alive and well. And I think that was important. And Elijah became another main character that was a good friend of Electa. So I think she could be. I'm sorry.
Andrea. So I think it's such a great story because it's so real to life that you have created in this book, interjecting biblical scripture in the book, expounding on it in the book. So for someone who's listening in today, what would be a primary thought from your book that you want them to gain, that you believe that if they get it, it will help them to develop and move to the next level?
Well, it's better. Jesus said it is better to enter the kingdom maimed than not at all.
And so that sounds like some people have said, I'm trying to get myself together before I go. I'm trying to get myself right before I go to Jesus. And what you're saying is, Jesus is saying, come as you are.
Amen. That is exactly what I'm saying. Right, right. There are people that just refuse to go. They will look at their situations in the world, and they'll say, why are you allowing this to happen? And they will walk away. Revelation talks about even those going through the time of God's wrath, they will have their fists in the air at God after all that's happening. And I do believe that there is a second chance, not that anybody would want to go through that, but it is a choice. Jesus has drawn the line in the sand, and he said, you are either for me or against me. And with it, we cannot stand on that line anymore. And, you know, or one foot in the kingdom and one foot, you know, in the world. And I believe that God is orchestrating all of these things that we see happening, that evil is being exposed for that purpose. So we can make that decision. And no, we're not going to be perfect before we come to the Lord. We become perfect as far as our righteousness before God when we turn our lives to Jesus, and then we learn how to walk. And so that is really the hobble from Ida Bethel, because AI, this is interesting, because AI is a land that, they had just, the Israeli army just had a giant victory in Jericho, the walls coming down, and they listened to God, and they found they had victory. So the next stop was AI. And when they went in there, they were defeated by this little army. And Joshua was baffled, and he said, he went to the Lord, and what happened? And God revealed that Achan had taken the spoils. Now, God has specified, again, you know, march around the city seven times and the walls will come down on the seventh. Don't take the spoils. And they disobeyed. And when he found out, they stoned Achan and his family to death. But then they went back into AI and they left it in a heap of rubble. And to this day, that land is in a land of ruins. So when we hobble from that land of ruination to Bethel, which is the house of God. And I think this is just so fit for every single one of us. So if we're struggling in life, then we still need to keep walking towards God, and he will give us that encounter. You know, it's like this love that we've been looking for all of our lives, that nothing in the world, no person in the world can fulfill. And God put eternity in our hearts. And that is such a wonderful thing, because it's like eternity. It's almost like you have this sensation that, you know, this lost Eden thing that you, that is in you. And it's a God-shaped hole that only He can fill.
You know, I hear we need to turn our lives around, and our turnaround is when we accept Jesus. So I love that. I want to take us on a different journey with your book. I want to talk about the layout and structure. Well, and the reason I'm going to talk about this is because as we have people coming on, I want them to hear what we're writing about, but I also want them to understand some of the struggles that we go through in creating our work. That yeah, we have these great finished products, but we had to journey through some things. We mentioned that your book has been, in 4 years, you have done two or three revisions on it also, and updates. Some people would create the first book and move to the second book and never go back to the first book to see if in fact anything did need to be changed. I like that you were willing to have people review your work, as well as people who purchase it, ask them for feedback, and then really process that feedback. So I want to ask you, for us, what is the importance of us heeding what people are saying about our work that may want us to move it to another level?
Yes, well, I could say this. The first time I wrote, I really was writing about myself, a young woman that was broken. Again, the dysfunction that we all have. And I held back somewhat. You know, pride is such a horrible thing, and it's not so obvious sometimes, but I didn't really want to reveal my heart to the whole world, especially the people that would read the book that knew me. And so I think that was part of it. And I wanted to make what I was trying to get across, the fact that we're all separated by sin. I wanted to make that more clear. I wanted to get across the fact of this great fear that I lived under for too many years, that I talk about paralyzing dreams. And that happened to me. I don't know why. It was after I was a Christian. I would, so basically, to answer your question though, it was the feedback. I felt I did not apply who I was more on a level that people could identify with, and that pride aspect had to be removed so I could share more of the deeper feelings of my character. That was one of the things that, you know, she was a little bit mysterious. So I tried to bring that out, but this fear aspect, this is just a world that 2 Corinthians 4:4 talks about Satan being the god of this world. So God has allowed that. And, you know, much like snakes in the wilderness that God used to get for Moses to fashion into a staff, took a snake and this snake became a staff to bring forth miracles. I think that is so significant, because God will use the evil in the world to give the miracle of life to somebody. Somebody will see, and these paralyzing dreams were that I was pinned to my bed, even in the middle of the night on a nap, and I never knew what they were for years. It frightened me. My heart would palpitate. I would wake up and I would, the only thing I could do, I couldn't move. I was immovable bodily and my mind. The only thing that I could do was cry out, Jesus. There was something in my spirit, wasn't audible. And then this thing would break. So for years, oddly enough, I was under this lie of the devil that somehow he had more power than God. Now, this was as I was a Christian. It just didn't make any sense. And I remember waking up from these immovable, paralyzing dreams that God, why are you allowing this to happen? I believe in you. I'm walking with you. I'm trusting in you. He wanted me to understand the depth of my fear. I can't believe the fear of thinking that God was a lesser than Satan. Don't ask me to explain it, but that's somehow deep in my own spirit. I harbored. And now that had things to do with watching The Exorcist and those kinds of things. They were scary. I talk about in the book, you know, you're afraid of things that go bump in the night. Well, I was. Things under the bed, you know, there's monsters under there.
So I can see why it was important for you to, you had your own preconceived thoughts about what and who this was for. And the reality is when we're writing a book, we have to start out with some audience. So we have to think about who is my targeted audience. So you were thinking based on you and your experiences, it must be women that were in my age range or at the age range where I went through these things and came to this understanding. But to because some people would have said, that's what I felt at the time that I wrote it. And that's just the way it's going to be. I mean, that's what I've heard many people say that, that's what the book is going to be. But when we really pray about things, when we really take the time to pray about what people are saying about the things that we are doing, we may be led to make some further adjustments because we want to make sure that it is as clear to the reader and has the ability to inspire them in such a way that that those who it is intended for, the initial intended audience, are actually gaining what you have put out. Now, I had a question. You said at one point you were going and people at the school, you were driving the bus, and you were saying that people would see you working on your book. And so people got excited about you working on your book, right?
Yes.
They got excited. And they were always asking, hey, Andrea, how's the book coming? Hey, Andrea, when are you going to be finished? Hey, Andrea, I can't finish to read your book. Now I'm going somewhere with this, y'all. So now after all of these people said that to you, Andrea, how many people actually bought your book?
You know, people
actually bought your book.
I really don't know.
Probably not. It's typically most of the people that holler and scream before.
Right. They didn't. Yeah. They wanted me to fail.
For the listeners is that just because people get excited about what you're doing doesn't really mean they're going to vest into it. That's why you have to decide with your book project that if you want to, that the people that you know, you have to begin to go outside of that.
Yes. I'm trying to reach a younger woman with fear that maybe does have an affliction, a physical affliction. That was one of the nicer things that somebody had said, that it is a book for somebody who may be handicapped, because that is part of it. You know, we do have a handicap. We do have a sin nature. Yes. And we don't have to let that hold us back from God, especially because he takes us as we are. And a lot of people probably wanted to see me fail. I mean, you know, laughed or whatever they did.
But you did. You were intentional. You said, this is on my heart to write this book. It may take a while. It's going to be a journey, but I am committed to completing what I set out to do. So I want to say this to those who are listening. Statistically, if you ask people, well, how many people, if you have a group of 100 people and you say, how many of you want to write a book? You'll probably get about 80% of the people will say they want to write a book. They want to write a book. They want to have their story out there. They have something that they want to share. Out of that 80%, only about 5% actually will do the work to really publish a book. And out of that 5%, only about 1% are going to do exceedingly abundantly well, because they are going to learn about marketing, branding, and doing more than just writing the book. Like, writing the book is just the beginning.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
How has that, it's been 4 years since we did the first interview. You've made adjustments since then. How has the book impacted the community that you are reaching towards in this time frame?
Well, I said from the get-go, I remember with all of my papers going on my bus, and I remember reading, the Lord will be the shade upon your right hand. And I ruminated in my mind, and I started thinking, well, you know, my hand, I write, I was like writing out things before I would go home, put it on the computer. But then I distinctly remember hearing, you know, in that still small voice, I want you to start calling it a book. And I was like, see, that was my big embarrassment, that I don't know how to do this. I wasn't trained, you know, anything. But the impact I think that it has had, it goes back to my wanting to help people. And now I've embarked on a new, journey here with the Groundwire coaching that I took an online course. And it is my privilege to get on this this platform and chat with people who are broken, who are hurting, who are seeking, and all of these things that I wrote out in the book about fear, about spiritual warfare, about an enemy after us, about our hobble to, you know, with God. We have that sin nature. I'm able to use that. And I am so blessed for that, that I even said, Lord, if this is just a book or an audience of one, then so be it. And that's basically what I do as far, and also my writing, my blogging. I blog for my own page for a Christian Writers bookstore. And I also write a monthly magazine for an online Christian Faith on Every Corner. So these are all the things that the Lord has shown me. And I just want other people to find that love of Jesus Christ. He loves us unconditionally. And like, I fell in love with him. You know, I mean, you can see other shows where, you know, movies where Jesus is with his disciples and they are in love with him. You know, it's not a dirty thing. It's an awesome thing, you know, and this is the kind of love that we've always been looking for. It's not a worldly type of a love. It's real love.
Yeah, I really like you sharing that, because who we are in the Lord, we cannot separate it from anything that we do, from anyone that we engage. It's not something that you turn on and turn off. It's who we are. And so whether we are talking about our books, promoting our books, building businesses, expanding our brand, marketing out there or whatever, we do it as unto the Lord. That's what we do. So we're not presenting this as a Christian platform, but Christ is definitely in the midst of everything that we are going to talk about. And as people come, others come on the chat, they're going to be speaking as led. And we know that the caliber of people that will come to this platform are definitely the ones that God wants here, that are going to be able to share something with you. So every week that we come on, yeah, we're going to talk to the individual. We're going to talk about them and their life and what they're doing. We're going to talk about their book, their business. We're going to talk about all those things, but we're also going to talk about the preneurship aspect of everything that you're doing, whether it's authorpreneur, entrepreneur, kingdompreneur, is all intertwined in what we are doing. We are seeking and building every day for greater. And we're trying to help other people gain their greater in this walk as well. So Andrea, I would like for you to leave a final thought with everyone. Take a couple of minutes, leave a final impactful thought with people, as a takeaway from you and your book, and share with people what's going on with you, You talked about your mission and ministry and business that you're doing. If someone is in need, how they can reach you, as well as if they want to purchase your book, how can they purchase your book? So over to you.
Okay. Well, my book is on Amazon and it can be purchased there. And as I mentioned, I'm a Groundwire coach, and it's an excellent place to access other Christians who can help you, you know, help the Christian with the struggles that they're in. A lot of people come on and they're like, I'm failing God, I'm doing this. And it's so encouraging to have somebody be able to help you. And I do write for Faith on Every Corner once a month, and they put out an excellent online magazine. But I would like to leave with that the fact that we are living in the last of the last days, the final moments of history. I read an article that scientists are telling us our world is physically spinning off its axis. It's shifting side to side, in fact, wobbling. And that kind of like coincides with this hobble, you know, where our world is wobbling. So I can't help but see that as mankind moves away from God, God is allowing everything that can be shaken to be shaken. Because what will remain is what is of him. And so I think that tragically, too many people think they can make it on their own, even to be just like God, which is the oldest line in the book where the great deceiver told that to Adam and Eve, that, you know, you don't have to obey God. You can just, you can be like him. So the Bible does tell us to think about our death. They say it's wise. Well, the Bible says, God says it is wise to think about your death. We don't want to say, we just don't want to think about death and things like that. But it is wise to think about it, because one day we will take our last breath and we will face God. And the big question will be, you know, what did you do with my son? It isn't about what you did, you know, earn, you know, it's not a brownie point. You did a ministry, you wrote a book, you did this, that, and the other. It's what did you do with the gift of my son? And so that's what I would like people mostly to know.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, what is your email address if someone would like to reach you?
It is rapture927@aol.com.
And listen, everyone, this has been Andrea Marino today talking about her book, The Hobble, From AI to Bethel. I have read the book. I haven't read the most recent version, so I guess I might have to get that one now. But I have read the book, and that was 4 years ago, so I can do a reread on the book. I enjoy that, just like we watch a movie a second time also when it's been good. So I highly recommend her book. Check her out. Follow her. She's on different platforms. I will also post some other content as well. But thank you again, Andrea. I appreciate you so much for being on here today. And thank you so much, listeners. You are greatly appreciated. And next week, I don't think I'm going to tell you about next week. I just need you to show up for the next week to see who's going to come in and share. But I like to always say, we are blessed to be a blessing. And let us be the visible manifestation of his invisible presence. I'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to Dr. Vanette's Chat Podcast, brought to you by John A. Publishing. Be sure to stay tuned in for future conversations and engagements. Check out the website, johnapublishing.org, and subscribe to this show on your preferred podcast app. Shout out to 95 for the production. Be blessed and be a blessing. Peace.